is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, where a short time ago, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer declared,
"I have very good news for the country. Democrats and Republicans have come to an agreement, and the government will remain open. We will have avoided a shutdown."
Which had threatened to close some federal agencies and stop paying even essential employees who would have to have worked anyway. The Senate voted overwhelmingly with both Democratic and Republican votes to go along with a House-passed measure from earlier, GOP leader Mitch McConnell.
"The clearest path forward has been to pass a straightforward, short-term funding extension. It gives us time to continue a number of important discussions about outstanding priority."
This bill does keep the government funded into mid-November, does not include aid for Ukraine. The White House wanted that. That issue now expected to be taken up separately, but soon. An important day for the 39th President of the United States.
Former President Jimmy Carter turns 99, and celebrations are going on from Washington to Georgia. At the White House, a three-tiered wooden red, white, and blue birthday cake is on the North Lawn. In Atlanta, the Jimmy Carter Library and Museum is moving up his birthday celebrations to Saturday, with the replica of the Oval Office that appeared during Mr. Carter's 1977 to 1981 term. Jimmy Carter is the longest-lived U.S. president. He's been in home hospice care since February. His wife, Rosalind, is home with him. She is 96 years old and has dementia. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
Remembering the late senator and San Francisco mayor, Dianne Feinstein.
"She was driven and she was guided to do amazing things, and she rose to occasions that we really need to treasure and remember."
That at San Francisco City Hall, where she served before being elected to the Senate. Dianne Feinstein was 90 when she died late this week. No funeral plans announced yet. There's an ammonia leak danger situation in Effingham County. That is in central Illinois. It is from a Friday night overturned truck accident that killed five people, injured five more, and led to area evacuations. Sheriff Paul Coons.
"It's terrible. It's bad stuff. If you are involved in it, you know, breathe it, especially because it gets in your airways, in your lungs, and it burns."
The New York metro area is starting to dry out after Friday's storm that flooded subways, highways, and airports led to a warning from Governor Kathy Hochul.
"This was the kind of rain that was once unimaginable, called them once-in-a-century storms. But this is the third time since I was sworn in 2 years ago I've had a once-in-a-century storm."
The trading week ended on something of a mixed note on Wall Street on Friday. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
A lot of more than makes me smile. Americans. You have a piano, but if you play the Peanuts theme song,
oh my gosh,
you know he can.
Yes,
on the Devil's Radio.
Yes.
Yeah,
I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Max Inc. on Civic Media, original local music until midnight. And this is Live in the Lair, sponsored by the Aaron Weber Group, the most trusted name in real estate. Find more at movetomadison.com and by Ignite Glass and Gifts. Three Madison locations, Odana Road, Willie Street, and Monona Drive. Shop online at igniteglassandgifts.com.
Jimmy, our next performers in the lair are no strangers to the Mad City rock scene as former members of the Getaway Drivers. A post-pandemic shuffle saw the Getaway Drivers become Madison rockers after August. Here to perform new songs for us tonight are two members from after August, Bob Manor and Greg Thornburg. Guys, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Hey, rocker. How's it going?
Yay! This is awesome.
Great to see you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah. So good. So good. Let's start at the beginning. You know, this is always kind of fun to start at the beginning. And how about the band of 15 years, the Getaway Drivers? Rocker mentioned that. What were they trying to get away from?
Well,
Disco.
Disco. Yes. No, you guys.
So one of our first drummers was Gail Campbell.
Oh.
And she was a great drummer. And she left us for... Greg doesn't have...
There we go. I think we got the mic
there you
out.
Go. Yeah.
She left us for VO5.
VO5?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Actually, I wasn't in the band at that point, but I became the drummer after she left.
And you're sitting here with a guitar.
With a guitar, yes. Yeah. We'll go over the music stuff later.
Excellent. 15 years, though, that's a long time.
Yeah.
To be together as a band. It really is.
Yeah, we had a good run.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. How about the band, how it kind of changed over time, and how did this become what it is now after August? I know this is probably going to be like a history lesson for us, but that's good. It's fun to hear how things happen.
Yeah, I think this is a similar story to your previous guest where 2020 shook up a lot of bands.
Yes.
And and we were one of them. And I think it was isolation that sort of spawned after August in a way, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We still collaborated even though we were in the band The Getaway Drivers together. We wanted to collaborate some, and out of that came a duo project, which was sort of foundational to what After August is now. We took some of those tunes, scored them for a full band, and I think sort of, you know, we originally thought maybe coming out of that we might do some duo shows, because that's what the CD was. It was just the two of us making that CD, Yeah, so I think we played some shows and with a small band, and we thought, you know, the bigger we get, the better we sound. So let's turn it into something that rocks.
Who's all in the band right now? What's the lineup?
So we have Greg move from drums in The Getaway Drivers to electric guitar.
Wow.
And our percussion player in The Getaway Drivers, Peach Mailing, moved to drums. And I moved from acoustic guitar to electric, and Sheila Shigley, my wife, she's singing like she did with The Getaway Drivers, so no change in instruments for her, except she's not playing fiddle anymore because we're not doing Americana anymore. Mm-hmm. So now she's just singing and playing some keys.
You can put some fiddle and some rock and roll, can't you?
Well, we did that for years, Jimmy.
Right. I know.
Yeah. And we also have Dan Kennedy, right? Did you mention Dan?
Dan Kennedy on bass. So Dan Kennedy was playing guitar for us intermittently during the years of The Getaway Drivers. We'd lose a guitar player, and Dan, a good friend of mine, would come in and play for us. I met him in the Sean Michael Dargan band years ago.
Yes.
And now he's playing a lot with Mark Croft, but he's adopted us as his band, or one of his bands right now. And
yeah,
we're lucky to have him.
He's super talented.
Award-winning guitar player who's playing bass for us.
Yeah. I mean, you guys really kind of shook it up.
Musical chairs with the instruments.
Really? Yeah. And that kind of makes you have to really think about, okay, now where are we going? What are we doing with this new band?
And it's kind of forced us to work a lot harder.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And we spend a lot of time. Yeah. We spend a lot more time than we ever did as The Getaway Drivers. A lot more time arranging and practicing. And, I mean, we don't go a week without a practice.
How does that feel?
Great.
It's different.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to go out sounding like a drummer who plays the guitar, right?
Right.
You want to sound like a guitar player. If someone's in the crowd who's a guitar player, they're going to be like, yeah, you've practiced, you know?
That's so good.
That's a lot of discipline. I mean, we don't practice. I'm saying week after week after week, Rocker, you do it with Iron Plow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's a big commitment to do that.
Yeah.
So Rocker was asking me before the show, like, do you have any funny stories or anything? I'm like, no, we don't.
No.
We're boring business.
We just work really hard, and we have no funny stories. We're totally serious in the studio. Sheila is exhausted by the time we're done with our 3.5-hour practices every week. And but it's good. It's you know, I've been learning. Greg's been learning.
Yeah,
learning, and it's kind of a cool thing to do at this point in our local music careers.
Yes, and it's fun to know it can be done. Yeah. You guys are living proof, and you're showing it to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to some live music with After August in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The first song you have for us tonight, it's called How Much Rain. This must be an apology to people yet to be born.
Well, it's an apology to the current generation. I have Gen Z daughters and their friends, and I know them all really well. And I think about the things they worry about and how we have kind of messed up the world. And it's a song really about how, you know, this country doesn't really have the promise that it used to for, you know, for that generation. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a generation where we put men on the moon.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not there anymore. We're mm-hmm. I believe we're in decline. And so this song is kind of about that.
Wow.
You know.
After August is in the studio performing live, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Call or text in the Civic Media app. Live in the Lair, it's After August.
How much rain can one storm make? How much pain can one world take? If I could give you the perfect place. If I could give you the perfect place. How much rain will it rain today? How much sorry can one man say? If I could give you a beautiful world. If I could give you a beautiful world. I would.
Country can do for you. Ask not
so many questions I've had since my youth. So many answers that pass for the truth. Insane suggestions. Ask for the truth. There are lies. Ooh, there are lies. There are lies. There are lies. How much rain can one storm make? Such a shame. It's a shame. I can't take. If I could give you a beautiful world. If I could give you a beautiful world. If I could give you a beautiful world. I want to.
Fear is
my girl.
Yeah. Bringing it.
Wow.
How much rain? That is After August, live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Call or text us and ask After August a question. They'll be happy to field that for you.
Oh, my gosh. That was hot. That was really good, you guys. And so, thanks for the explanation on the words behind the song, because, wow, that hits. It really does.
After August, why not July? or after July, or 6 months. 6 months out of the year, your name is, well, it's before.
Well, I tried to call them after autumn, and I'm like, autumn isn't right.
Right.
August.
It just sounded better than before September.
There it is.
Green Day would, or Green Day would have had a beef with after August there. Tell us about the name selection of the band.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we went through weeks and weeks and weeks. You know, and the thing is, no matter how creative you are with band names, you look them up on the internets, and everything's taken.
Someone's taking it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's hard. We're currently trying to come up with a different name for something, and it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, the roadblocks come and you just, that doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound good.
Well, and you want it to represent what you are, too.
So we wanted it to be poetic. And we wanted it to be something people would remember when they heard us, like something easy to remember. Yep. And the alliteration of it after August sounds good.
I like that.
And we came up with the name finally. I think we're all on the road. I mean, Greg was on the road. Me and Sheila were on the road. I think Dan was on the road.
Wow.
And I just remember being in the car, and we're coming back from up north, and we had a series of phone calls after all these months, and we settled on after August while we were on the road traveling. And
sometimes you just need to get away from everything.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just gotta go, okay, this is what it's gonna be. Wow.
Crack open some champagne to celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. In the car.
Bob, let's ask you about a little bit of your history in the beginning. About why did you start playing music, is it a family thing or was it a family?
Yeah,
thing?
It was. When I was so my grandfather was a professional pianist. My other grandfather was a singer who recorded in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
I grew up in a home out in the county outside of Superior, and my parents went to this country church. And by the time I was 10. My mother was very pleased that I could harmonize with her, and so I was up in front of the church every other darn Sunday with my mouth dry and my hands sweating.
No.
And I loved music. I carried around a little tape recorder, and I just I loved music, all kinds of music. So I grew up with lots of different kinds, but gospel was really the way I started playing piano.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. What was your favorite piece that you play?
My favorite piece, a gospel piece, was just simply Amazing Grace.
Mm.
I really love playing that tune. I still do.
Wow. Do you remember, did you write a song when you were
young? My first song I wrote when I was 17 years old.
Oh, gosh.
And so I was out in North Dakota visiting my uncle, and there was this girl visiting the pastor in the church across the street. As if you can't tell, I had a very religious upbringing.
Yeah.
And so this girl is really sweet, and I wrote this song on piano. I would go over to the church at night with the windows open. It was the summer, and I knew she was next door in the pastor's house, and I would play this song. And then one night she came in, and I played it for her, and I was shaky and embarrassed. Aww. And it was, and I could see the sympathy in her eyes.
No.
It was sympathy. But that was my first love song.
That's adorable.
I don't even remember the name of it at this point, but it's so many years
you
ago.
You remember her name?
Jody.
Okay.
Oh. Things like that are not forgotten.
Oh, no.
Well, let's get back to live music with After August in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight, it's called Witch of the Sea.
Ooh.
She better beware if she's creeping around my back stairs.
Nah. Yeah, I grew up with Gordon Lightfoot.
Ah.
And so Greg came up with this amazing riff for it, and I thought it would be really great to write. It sounded like the sea to me. And I was a huge fan of Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald back in the 70s, and I thought it would be great to do an ode to Gordon and write a rock song that was about a shipwreck. So that's kind of... where that came from.
Well, let's check it out right now. After August is live in the Lair on Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Red sky rising the dawn. Sailing a ship is a trick and you can't get it wrong. Hey, gotta sail me along. Falling asleep the switch as we list in the storm. Calamity, providence favors the brave in the great gray sea. She favors the brave in the great gray sea.
Civic wow. Media live in the lair. It's after August. Mm. I could tell you're channeling your inner Gordon Lightfoot in
absolutely.
That song.
Absolutely.
Wow, dude. I mean, it's an original song, but the storytelling,
mm-hmm.
spot on.
And yes, what you said about the guitar too, sounding like water. Yeah.
It has mm-hmm. that.
That's very cool.
Yeah, first time I heard it, I thought it was going to drown.
Wow. That's pretty.
I just couldn't catch my breath.
Oh my God. 844-967-2789.
Give the guys a call. Ask them a question. Bob and Greg are standing by for you here, Rocker.
Okay, let's go to Greg now. How about this? Tell us about the start to your musical journey, Greg. What's the backstory? And again, you know, same with family. Did you learn something from family?
Yeah, it started early. I was probably about 6 when I took my first guitar lesson.
Oh my gosh.
And I got my first guitar from my grandmother because I'm sure I just probably would not let go of the idea. My dad played guitar and, I thought it was so cool. He had this Telecaster that was, I didn't know it at the time how cool it was, but it was very cool. So anyway, I just wanted to follow in those footsteps there was a lot of music in our household as well. John Denver and The Who and The Eagles and Meatloaf and, you know, all this great stuff is just always on our record player. And so, like I said, I took some early, very early guitar lessons, and those were the last ones I took, really, at that age. And then, fast forward a lot of years to about maybe sixth grade, And my older sister played the drums, and she had a drum kit set up in her room and sometimes in the living room. And I was just sort of fascinated with the drums then. And she taught me a few basic drum beats, and then I heard Rush. And so there's a, you know, it's one of those sort of like one of those pivotal, there's a few pivotal points in your, in your upbringing. And that was one of them, hearing Rush. And so I learned the drums. I picked up the drums and played them most of my life. In fact, I mean, if you went through the photo book of my teen years and college years, you would see very few pictures where I didn't have a music, either in a music context or an instrument or playing something. So, I mean, it was really my life for a long time. I got a degree in music, in percussion from UW Green Bay. And, along with our drummer, with our current drummer, Pete, we went to school together at Green Bay.
How about that?
And we saw you in the TV up there.
Oh, boy. There. Now that's funny.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
It was the 90s. Yeah, it was the 90s.
It was the 90s.
Oh,
yes.
Then another pivotal point in my up. Well, first of all, my parents are very supportive. I mean, any kid who wants to go into music, you're like, oh man, could you pick something else, baby? But they were extremely supportive. They would just like get a degree in something, get a passion, you know, do something that makes you happy, you know, whatever.
They let you set up your drums in the living room.
I know, that's pretty, pretty supportive. Cool.
Well, yes, it was moved to the basement at some point. Once I started learning Neil Peart's stuff, I was like, well, a lot of extra practice. So I practiced every day. But anyway, so another pivotal point comes at some point, maybe in 2013, and I go to Summerfest and I see Willie Porter playing, one of Wisconsin's greats, right?
Yes.
And in fact, I have his shirt on, and I saw him last night.
He's in Madison recently.
Yeah, he was here last night playing. Mm-hmm. And
new album.
And he was playing on the, I think, the Pottawatomie stage in at Summerfest, and it was my first time hearing him, and I was like, that's the way acoustic guitar is supposed to sound. Mm. And I, you know, all of a sudden I picked up the acoustic guitar and I started researching fingerstyle guitar on the internet, and I found Andy McKee and all these great artists who were doing something completely different with the guitar that was percussive. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. So I picked that up, and I made two albums of fingerstyle guitar. And then the Getaway Drivers needed an electric player. So I did one or two gigs at that, and then, you know, 2020. And fast forward, and now I'm kind of full-time electric guitar lead player.
So just playing guitar for the last 4 years? 4 or 5 years?
Probably a little bit more than that if you include the acoustic fingerstyle stuff. Yeah, it goes back probably 8 or 9.
That's pretty amazing, man. Do you still play drums?
I haven't for several years, which is really strange.
It?
I do miss it. Yeah. Drums is relaxing to me. It's sort of my, what I always did to relax, and sort of, it's meditation for other people or exercise. Drumming is that for me. And it's always that sort of home base and something that came super natural to me.
Well, Greg is kind of a control freak. And when he was in our band as the drummer, kind of in charge of arrangements, man. Like, if something he didn't like, we didn't do
and
it.
And the dynamics. I was in control of that, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you were mad, you could go faster, and everybody would have to keep up with you.
Fine, play it now.
What about, do you miss loading in at shows, being a guitar player versus drums?
That's a good one.
Well, you know, at the sort of the tail end of when I was drumming, I was sharing drums a lot with local drummers.
Yeah.
And
drum squatter.
Yeah, well, I was... For a long time, I would only play my own drums. I was a real snob about that.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what?
Yep.
My back's not a snob.
That's right. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
How long is your next song that you guys are here to play here?
3 minutes and 30 seconds.
I tell you what, why don't we hang tight? We're going to take a quick break. When
Sounds
we come
good.
Back from the other side of the break, we'll dive right into that
Look
song.
Look forward to it.
We're live in the lair here on Civic Media, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. 89, give us a call and tell us what's going on and ask these guys a question. We'll be right back.
If it's local music from Wisconsin, it's heard here. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Sure, the home seller's market is hot right now, but that means many people are jumping at the first offer. When you sell with the most trusted name in real estate, the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you're guaranteed the hottest offer. making you the most money for your home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, your local realtor, friend, and neighbor, has your best interest in mind and wants you to make the most of this amazing time to sell. Bring a little heat to your home selling experience with Aaron Weber Group and move to Madison.com.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop IgniteGlassandGifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albus Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albus Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We're going out of town next month and need a cat sitter.
We use Hotel K Pet Sitting. You know, freebellyrubs.com.
Free belly rubs?
Yeah, Hotel K Pet Sitting. They're local and dependable. They feed our cats, put fresh water out, and even scoop the litter box. And they send daily messages with pictures giving us peace of mind while we're away.
For house sitting, cat sitting, and dog walks, it's Hotel K Pet Sitting. Reserve now at freebellyrubs.com. freebellyrubs.com.
Hey, Mrs. K, get off Mr. K and listen to Max Inc. Radio.
Get out of here or I'll kick your ass.
Radio for the people.
Broadcasting from the top of State Street in Madison, Wisconsin on WMDX worldwide on the Civic Media app. How you doing, everybody? I'm Jimmy K here with rocker Terry Barr.
Hi.
Make sure you tune in to Max Inc. Heavy coming up at 10 p.m. tonight. We've got Essential Last Crack at 11. Good list of songs tonight, too. Max Inc. Heavy tonight, 10 o'clock rocker.
Jimmy, we're jumping right back into live music with After August in the Lair. This next song, it's called Epilogue. And does the Witch of the Sea have a sister? A caller wants to know.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, this song is the sister song of the last one. Ah. And it's really about the only survivor of the shipwreck. And so this is his story.
Oh, wow.
All right, it's After August, live in the Lair on Max Inc. Radio.
No sleep all night. Look up to the gray wash sky. It's morning. I can't believe that I'm alive. So many taken by the tide. No warning. Bloody hands and broken lines. Voices lost in the frigid brine. Now silent. Some of these were friends of mine. They'll never sail beneath the deep blue sky again. Sunrise, the breeze becomes a tempest. So hold on to your lover's hand in a faraway Greenland, forget the tempest. Thank you. and we go silent.
Live in the lair here on Maxic Radio. How you doing? 844-967-2789. Greg, that was some great guitar work right there.
Yes, in fact, the tone was really cool.
The tone,
oh, really? Yeah.
Like the finger picking at the end.
Yeah, it's all stuff I picked up from the solo finger style acoustic guitar playing. I just carried as much over as I could because I'm not a fast player. I'm not a guy who grew up playing, you know, lick guitar or riff guitar or anything like that. I have to compensate with some tricks like that. But thank you very much. Yeah. It's nice to hear that, especially as, you know, someone who's trying to step out of the drummer shadow a little bit.
Yeah. And one more comment about that particular song. I see why you call it the sister song.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's the two actually go to, are they going to be like, are they back to back on an album right now? Yeah.
Okay. Yes, they are. Tempest, which we played back in January, has those two songs as, I don't know, second and third songs maybe.
And it makes sense. It's like you're reading a book, like the chapters kind of going together in that way.
Yeah,
I really
thought about, do we bookend the CD with those two, or do we put them right next to each other?
Yeah.
You know how some songs are meant to be played back, like Heartbreaker, Living, Love, and Made, right?
Right.
Is that these two songs, should they be played back to back?
Yeah, they really ought to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these two songs are like one of the reasons I started songwriting is I love the storytelling. I grew up listening to Bruce Springsteen and, you know, Uncle Tupelo and all these other singer-songwriter, you know, with stories. I like the stories. So.
Well, and it shows.
The passion great comes through, for sure.
Yeah, it really does. Oh, man.
Well, what struck me about the guitar solo was that it was very characteristic of a 70s Gordon Lightfoot guitar solo. It sounded, you know, that's how those kind of solos sounded almost. It was really
lyrical. Yeah, I try to go for the lyrical kind. It's, you know, the Eddie Van Halen influence and the Neil Schon influence. Those guys were super lyrical and you could sing their guitar solos.
Oh, there it is.
And I thought, you know, if I can't play blisteringly fast, I better play something you can sing along to.
You found your style.
I hope so.
It's a very David Gilmour-esque sort of
statement. Oh, boy. Ooh, I love that. I love that. We cover a Pink Floyd song.
Actually, I paid Rocker to say that.
Venmo.
Worth it.
Yeah. The check's
so
in
worth
the mail.
It.
Oh, you know, Bob, some kids think about owning a huge stereo someday, but your dream was much bigger. Tell us about your home studio.
Oh, well, you know, my home studio started back in the late 70s when I was carrying around a tape recorder, and then I would take two tape recorders and play one and record along with it to the other.
This sounds familiar.
You know?
Oh, man.
And then I discovered a four-track machine in the 80s, and that was amazing. I loved it. And then
Fostex.
Yep. And then in the mid to late 90s, I discovered I had a good friend of mine, Jeff Knight, who was in one of my bands early on, a good bass player, really great bass player. He was working for Sonic Foundry, and he's like, what are you doing with that, you know, machine? Just do it on your computer. I'm like, do it on my computer? What?
Oh, no.
What? No, I... So he gave me this software, and I had one of the early, you know, Dell computers, and I just started, you know, it was amazing. And then I bought my first condenser mic, and like I put that in front of me and, you know, got the preamp hooked up and all that. And it was just like, oh my God, I can hear the whole house.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. I loved that whole thing. And then I just started, you know, recording and, you know, learning all the engineering stuff, learning how to record drums, learning how to, you know, do the compression, the effects, and all the stuff to make music.
And how big is it now?
It's kind of big. I mean, I spend a lot of time, you know, buying gear and selling gear, buying, upgrading to more gear, you know, just like a guitar player collects guitars. I was collecting microphones and, you know, preamps and, you know, software plugins and all that good stuff. So I've, you know, it's been my passion for the last 20 years.
I bet we bumped into each other at Radio Shack when we were younger.
We probably did, because I spent a lot of time in Radio Shack. Let me tell you, how can I get this connected to that? How can I, you know, and Radio Shack always had the answer. You know, yeah. There's not an adapter you couldn't get.
Yeah. There's those little times, exactly. The adapters or the patch cables. There's sometimes you just need an RCA to 1/8.
That's right.
And you don't want to wait a day to get it from wherever, you know? Right. Radio Shack. Bring it back.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Are you still all digital, though? Do you do anything on, like, the old...
We don't do anything on tape. Okay. No. Okay. No, it's all in the box.
I know a lot of people don't, but I was just curious.
I mean, I'd like to, you know, but it's just too much time.
Good explanation. okay, so you have, and this, wow, I can't wait to ask you about 3 songwriters in 1 band?
Yeah.
Tell us, how does that work, and is it like the Beatles?
No, I think we're a little friendlier to each other than the Beatles were. So no, we've got Dan Kennedy, who's an excellent songwriter, and Sheila Shigley, my wife, who's a wonderful ballad songwriter. She just writes the most amazing stuff, and so her and I did most of the writing in the Getaway Drivers. Yeah. But now we have Dan in the mix, and so when we put this album out next spring, it's going to be, you know, it's the, hey, man, we're going to be the next Fleetwood Mac, I swear.
Yeah.
You know?
A super group.
So, don't forget us.
It's going to be awesome. And then Greg, does all this. What did you say earlier?
I supply thematic material.
Yes,
I come up with a few sort of key things, but I also do sort of a lot of arranging of the tunes, from a mile high perch, like hearing how they should sound and sort of, you know, helping guide us through that. But Dan's really good at that too.
Yeah.
He's got a really good ear.
So Greg is really the fourth pillar. And so we're really lucky. And I think the CD is going to be good.
I think the process is always fascinating for people that haven't written songs or don't know what goes into it. So to know you've got that much brains behind all of your music.
Well, and more importantly, I think there's a lot of respect among the songwriters that there's just so much. So much history there and so much knowledge and so much good experience that we can all draw upon. You know, it's not a competition in any way in the band. Yeah. You know, we might try to, but we'll just, out of jazz, we'll be like, yeah, I play that riff better than you. But
there's
your smack talk, Jimmy.
That sucks, man. And then run out of the room.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's not fantasy football, but I'll take it.
Well, let's get back to live music with After August in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song that you have, it's called What You Owe. Is this a song about a guy who sells steaks?
No, it's a guy who sells snake oil to the American public. And unfortunately, half the country is willing to buy it. So, yeah.
It's After August live in the Lair. We're unplugged from politics. Max Sanford, Sanford.
In the sky, and in the hell beneath your feet, it's in your eyes, and in your heart beneath the beat, it's in your fate, and in the way you play the game, it's in your hate. And in the way you say your name, it's coming around. Soon enough, you're gonna know.